Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, February 2nd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, I guess old Punxsutawney Phil saw his, or didn't see his shadow today, but anyway, he's telling us 6 more weeks of winter.
Boy, I can hardly stand it down here in Texas. My things are going. That's another 6 weeks of 60 to 70 degree weather.
Oh, yeah, you'll take it, right?
I won't complain about it, but I really wish I'd like to see some snow, and I'd like to see some really cold weather. I kind of enjoy it, and it always bothers me if you have what is turning out to be a warm winter down here. It bothers me because it points to a really hot summer. And hot summers in Texas, they're hot. You know, it's one of those things. And lengthy. I've been down here when we had 90 consecutive days of over 100 degree temperatures.
Well, that's nice.
I don't like that.
I lived in Arizona where we had consecutive days of 115. But you know, it is nasty. Didn't enjoy that either. So a couple of hot spots. The Northeast is certainly in the cold spots. There, there. You know, that snow is beginning to accumulate after the past couple of weeks. And they might not have had that big blitz a week ago where 2 and 3 feet were expected in some places and they didn't get it. But over the period of time, it's getting up there. So
the weathermen were right after all.
They were right after all. Just took them a couple of weeks.
I understand.
And the gold men and women, me being one, we have gold at $1,275 today, down $820 off its low of $1,265, so struggling to move back up. You have silver down a few pennies today, 6 at $1,728. Platinum was down 11 at $1,232, with palladium up 15 at $789. That just seems to go in the reverse direction of the other three precious metals. Kind of interesting, just a 1 or 2 day wonder, but we'll see how it continues to trade. We have the USDX today trading down slightly, 0.26 at $94.59. Crude oil managed to be up today, almost at 50.
Yep.
1.49 at $49.73. All kinds of steel mills and unions and so forth going on strike today, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. And the paper markets today, big budget was released today by Obama. I mean, it's just, you know, I can't believe people really think that the numbers and what they talk about with these budgets and the taxes and, oh, you know, we're going to tax the rich and help the middle class. I mean, do people really believe?
Yes, they do, Melody.
Do they really believe?
Uh-huh. Well, they do. They need to believe this. This is what keeps the economy going, is our confidence.
Oh, my gosh. You have the Dow, yeah, reversed itself. It was, you know, flat most of the day, but they got a little bit of bump. 195. I don't really see any reasons why, but the Dow was up 195 at 17,360. The NASDAQ was up 41 at 4,697. The S&P up 25, 2020. And the 10-year yield, 1.67%. So, kind of interesting. If you haven't refied yet, it would probably be a really good time to do so. And if you're looking to purchase a home, you know, pretty low rates there, folks. Today we had, I think we talked about this a little bit before, where the hedge funds are beginning to get more bullish on gold. They're more bullish on gold than they have been in for 2 years. And they're looking and betting on that, you know, it's going to strengthen. The price is going to strengthen based on the slowing economies in Europe and Asia. As those slowing economies worse, as they continue, it'll threaten our expansion, if you call what we have an expansion. But their net long positions have been increased by 80%.
I think part of that may also be the idea that the U.S. dollar index is probably getting close to as high as
it's absolutely.
And if it starts to decline, right, then in theory, price of gold should go up more so than it even has. But gold's been surprising because it's kind of moved along with the U.S. dollar index in any case. Dollar was going up, but gold went up also. We're only, last year, it was 2% behind the rise in the price of the dollar. So we trailed along, or gold trailed along behind the dollar very closely, while other products, while other commodities and whatever were falling in price. Gold pretty much held its price, only diminished a little bit relative to the dollar, and increased significantly relative to most foreign currencies. My understanding is that the dollar is the only currency, when you compared gold to the dollar, it didn't do quite as well. Compare gold to the euro, compare gold to the pound, and so on. It was up significantly last year. So, you know, the whole thing is so complex. When you start calculating all the foreign currencies, is gold up or down in the English terms, the English pound, the U.S. dollar, Japanese yen? It's complex and confusing, but nevertheless, fact remains, it was up in virtually every other currency. It was only down, and just slightly, in compared to the dollar.
Well, it's really not that complex, Al. I mean, really, what really matters is what gold is doing here in the States. And, you know, and what people can purchase it for. The fundamentals for gold and silver is really what's important. And it's not as you know, it's not as sexy. It's not as exciting. You know, it's much more exciting to talk about, you know, gold rising, you know, in other currencies. It's more exciting to talk about, you know, the, you know, hedge funds that are getting more bullish on gold and so forth. But the fundamentals really are, have been intact and are stronger today than they ever been. And when you have these high, everything is at their peaks. I mean, just like you mentioned about, you know, the dollar. I mean, anybody with a half of, you know, we know that's going to be breaking here pretty soon. Does that mean it's going to collapse into?
No.
You know, no, it doesn't.
No.
But the level at the where the dollar is at today, it'd be a good short for the next 6 months or so. You know, you're going to see weakness. And same way with some of these other areas, you know, where you could, you know, you can pretty much bet that once oil reached around 40, sure, you get commentaries and people saying that, you know, it's going to hit 30. But I would strongly think that would have a much more higher potential of going a little higher than actually going lower when you're looking at $40, $41, $42, $43 for oil. So, so certainly in gold prices in January, it's capped the biggest monthly gain in 3 years. And so it's even though it was down today, it was still good to it did return a lot of its losses. So not sure if it had anything to do with Obama's record $4 trillion budget to Congress. The tax hikes for the rich help for middle class, if you believe it. And
the middle-class bankers.
The middle-class bankers.
They had quantitative easing to help the upper-class bankers, and now they're going to have tax increases to help the middle-class bankers.
But now all you're going to hear, you're going to hear all this wrangling between Congress and Obama and, you know, all these threats and so forth as far as how this budget's going to turn out. But, you know, there's some interesting parts. Cigarette tax. His budget proposes to raise $95 billion over the next decade by hiking the tax on cigarettes from the current $1 per pack
from the current 90% tax to a new and improved 98% tax.
I mean, unbelievable. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money, $95 billion just from the smokers.
I mean, it really does amaze me, though. I can remember, I used to smoke. I haven't had a cigarette now in, I don't know, 30 years or more. But I did smoke for 10, 12 years I smoked.
Yeah, we all did.
And I can remember, you could get a pack of cigarettes for a quarter. Right now, I don't even know what the price of cigarettes, but it's several dollars per pack. And my recollection, and a carton of cigarettes, I don't even remember what, I don't know what it is right now. But I have been astonished and amazed. Used to be able to get a carton of cigarettes for, I don't know, $3. Nine, back when I was smoking. And now, you almost have to hold up a 7-Eleven in order to afford to get tobacco. It's pretty amazing. And it's mostly taxes. I don't know if it's mostly, but significantly taxes. I mean, who's the biggest? Why do we continue to smoke in this country? Well, for one thing, it thins the population. It eliminates people who might otherwise, the government might otherwise have to pay Social Security to, a lot of them. And at the same time, it generates a lot of tax revenue for the government. So this is a win-win. Tobacco is a win-win for government. It's not that good for the American people, but it's great for the government. So
there was an interesting breakdown from the AP, Associated Press, about the agency-to-agency look at how the dollars would be spent in this 2016 budget. And we'll put a lot of this in our newsletter for next week, because it's a very simple and it really gives you an idea instead of trying to read through all the various, you know, they just make it so confusing so, you know, people can't understand it and so forth. But what's interesting, it breaks it down into the agriculture. They're going to be up 3%. Commerce is going to be down 12.8%. Defense is going to be up 4.4%. Education down, which surprises me, 24%. That's even with the proposal for free community college. You have energy, that's up 3.8%. The one that I found amazing, where our dollars are going, is the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. You're not even going to guess how much that's going up, Al. 55%.
5% to the EPA?
55.6%.
Well, that's not going to happen.
It's up.
I don't even believe that's going to happen. That may be his proposal, but I don't believe that's going to happen. What does that mean other than more regulations on American businesses, which will ultimately drive more businesses out of this country or just flat out bankrupt them?
What it says is what's new about it is a $4 billion fund for use by states that cut the pollution blame for global warming from power plants deeper and faster than required. After cutting the EPA's budget for years, Obama's proposing the largest increase to the agency's budget of his presidency as he doubles down on plans to curb the pollution blame for global warming. But, you know, with the Republicans in there, they're going to try to whack that. So,
yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah. I mean, I can.
But that was an amazing
5% increase in the EPA while the education is going down.
Down 24%, yeah.
Education going down 24%?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine. You know, there's times when, you know, I really do wonder about Obama. I mean, the guy is. I don't like him. All right. I don't admire him. But he is smooth, and he just keeps on grinning and smiling, and everything seems to be running for him. And I keep wondering, what's this guy smoking? Doesn't he understand what's going on? You know, it's one of those things where he's in a position, you know, a happy president has to be a lie. You see, president just out there laughing and grinning and whatever. And look, this guy has got problems coming at him every single day, and we're led to believe he's just going to sit there and laugh and grin all the time? It just doesn't make sense. When you're really in big trouble, you need to focus your attention, your eyes get intense. You're not laughing at everybody's jokes. You're not cracking jokes and the rest of that sort of thing. When there are serious problems, it requires some sort of serious attention and the attention of serious people. And Obama's, this is just game. He'll just, what the heck? Well, 55% for the EPA. What? I don't know. Is he doing it with a dartboard? How does he come up with the numbers, Melody?
Maybe it is a dartboard.
I don't know. You know, it's just one of those
things. Well, that's always been his little puppy, you know.
Thinking about. And is he even thinking about it? And is he doing this just to make gestures or just to say, I don't care that, you know, that he doesn't care that he's just a lame duck and nobody pays any attention to him? He didn't care. He's going to do what he wants to anyway. That's all. You know, I have no idea what motivates that man with one possible exception. I think. As long as they keep Michelle in the East Wing, I think he's happy to be in the West Wing. Other than that, I don't know what moves him.
Well, yeah, that's an incredible note. To me, it just didn't even make sense. But Health and Human Services, that's going to be up 4.3%, and that tax on the cigarettes is going to extend health insurance for low-income children. So there's a lot of their home security. Homeland Security is going to be up over 9%. Housing and Urban Development, that's going to be up 10%. The Interior is going to be up 21%.
What about the IRS?
And that's for the national.
The IRS?
Hey, get this. This budget includes $859 million in new spending to mark the centennial of the National Park Service. You know?
Oh, boy, that's something I want to participate
in. Yeah, isn't that, you know?
The National Park
almost
Service.
$1 billion. Well, it will be $1 billion by the time they get done with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Justice Department, it's basically flat. Let's see, what else do we have here? NASA, it's going to be up almost 3%. The SEC and the CFTC. There's no percentage on that, but it shows that they're both going up. Oh, yeah. Oh, I guess the Securities and Exchange Commission budget would increase by 15%. I'll get this. The Commodities Future Trading Commission's budget would rise 29%.
What about the IRS? Do they have the IRS down there?
Transportation up 31%. Veterans Affairs, and this is at 3.3%.
3% up or 3% down?
3% up. 3% up. And I didn't see where the IRS was at. That's probably under, Treasury. I don't know why, under the Treasury, but they didn't have that. I don't know why that wasn't how
you might have it under organized crime. Look under organized crime.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the Internal Revenue Service is supposed to decline. they're supposed to take a hit this year. they messed with the Republicans and the Tea Party members and the rest of it. And now I think I've heard that their staff is going to be reduced by 13% for this year. It just cracks me up. I don't know. There is some justice in this world after all, Melody. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addisk, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188.
We got a
silver coin needs.
We got a question from Murray. He says, is it even constitutional to single out one segment of society for a tax?
Well, and he's referring to smokers, mm-hmm. All right, and the tax is being raised on tobacco. Which suggests to me that Murray is a smoker. I don't know if that's true or false, but that's how we usually complain about taxes. If the tax impacts me, I'm pissed. You know, I'm upset about taxes. If they affect other people, I don't care that much. That's just human nature. Is it constitutional? Well, they're going to argue, I suspect, that they're going to argue that they're not taxing smokers, they're taxing the tobacco products, right? And that would, and certainly, and under the guise of interstate commerce, tobacco's being, you know, raised in North Carolina, for example, and sold all over the country. You know, and there are other places, of course, that it's being raised, but the idea that it impacts interstate commerce, that'd give them a basis for placing a larger tax on tobacco than they do on other products. What are you going to say? You know, one thing we can say about, I think they can do this constitutionally. I think it's constitutional what they're doing. But one of the interesting things about commerce is in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the Constitution of the United States, it says to regulate, Congress shall have power. These are one among the limited powers of government, where Congress can intrude into the affairs of the states of the Union. This is Article 1, limited powers. It says Congress has, shall have power, and it says that earlier, and then under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Now, this is interesting. Because so far as I know, the word interstate does not appear in the Constitution of the United States. I'm going to just take a fast look at my index on the Constitution here to make sure of this. IND, interstate, I don't see, no, 183. They use the term interstate commerce. When we're talking about commerce right now, they say it's justified under the Constitution, but in fact, the Constitution does not say interstate commerce. Those words do not appear in the Constitution. What they say is to establish uniform rule, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states. And that's what we're basically talking about here. We're not, they didn't, and we are left to wonder, is interstate commerce, does that term actually refer to the same regulation of commerce that we find at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3? Interstate commerce, it says commerce among the several states. There is good evidence, not necessarily proof, but good evidence that interstate commerce presumes commerce between administrative divisions of the United States, states of the United States, which are not the same as states of the United States of America. Average person say, that's crazy. What's he talking about? I'm talking about they've got two different venues here. Under Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, Congress has exclusive legislative jurisdiction over the territories and administrative districts. And there's good reason to suspect that Congress is operating under the presumption that Murray, who asked the question about the tobacco, they're operating on the presumption that you're operating right now, Murray, not in a state of the Union, not in a state of the United States of America. And that's the proper name of the Union and the perpetual Union and Confederation that were created by our Articles of Confederation. But you are instead in what has come to be called states of the United States, statutory states, not constitutional states, not states of the Union, statutory states of the United States. It's a different concept. And the question is, Murray, can they impose the tax on tobacco and smokers? Well, it depends on where you are. Which venue are you in? Are you in the United States or are you within the United States of America? And I know how nutty that sounds to most people, but we've been looking at this. I've been looking at it. I'm one of the people who've been looking at this for now, 18 years, thereabouts. I didn't originate the idea. A man by the name of Paul Andrew Mitchell did back in the early 1990s. So far as I know, he wrote a book called The Federal Zone. Other people have picked up on this since then. And there is reason to believe that interstate commerce applies to the states of the United States, while commerce among the several states, which is what it says in the Constitution, applies to commerce among the states of the Union. The proper name of the Union, you can find it in the Articles of Confederation. They have it in quotes. They say the style of this confederacy shall be the United States of America. That's the proper name for this country, for the Perpetual Union. And the interesting thing about it is the Perpetual Union only includes states of the Union. It does not include any territories. It does not include any districts like the District of Columbia. The United States of America only includes states of the Union. The United States includes 50 administrative or territorial states plus Washington, D.C., a district, plus the territories like the U.S. Virgin Islands and what may and what we think, what we suspect they refer to as the as states of the United States. We think they regard them as territorial. I'm sure that's confusing. Most people listen to it and perhaps say, that guy's crazy. No, I'm not. I might be mistaken, but I guarantee you there is evidence to support that possibility. So, two kinds of commerce, in my opinion. Commerce among the several states, that means the states of the Union, and interstate commerce among the territories, Washington, D.C. Can they do it to you, Murray? Yes, they can, if you are in one of their territories. If you're within a state of the Union, probably not. Does that make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it does. And, you know, I think one of the pet peeves that's under this budget for me is, you know, people work hard all their lives. They work hard. They save. They want to pass on to their children, give them a decent life, even their grandchildren and so forth, their legacy, whatever. And I just never the death tax is just one that just it shouldn't be. And in his budget, it calls for an increase in the death tax rate from 40% to almost 60%.
But they start at a certain level before they don't mean 60% of every dime after you pass on, if I understand correctly.
Well, under this current law, when you inherit an asset, your basis is the asset is the higher of the fair market value at the time of death, or the decedent's original basis, and almost always they use the fair market value, which is higher. Under the proposal, when you inherit an asset, your basis will simply be the decedent's original basis. And the example would be if your father bought a house for $10,000, and he dies and he left it to his children, the fair market value on the date of his death was $100,000. So if you sold it for $120,000 under the current law, you have a capital gain of $20,000.
And you would pay 40% on that, which would be $8,000 tax on your $120,000 home.
Under the Obama plan, You're going to have a capital gain of $110,000.
And you're going to pay 60%
price,
on that.
The sales price of $120,000 less the original basis price of the home of
$10,000.
All
right, $10,000.
So you have 60% on $110,000. So it's $110,000,
yeah. So the difference is paying $8,000 on the house and paying something like $66,000 on the house, and that should get a lot of people's attention.
Should. I mean, this just adds another layer of taxes on savings and investments, and, you know, it's going to hit family farms, your small businesses, you know, because these are the, you know, typical things that are, you know, truly handed down and so forth. And it's just, it's the gift that just keeps taking. they just keep taking everything you make and save.
Well, the presumption here goes back to where Obama, he told some businessmen, he said, you didn't make that business by yourself.
Yeah,
A lot of other people made that, and therefore we're entitled to money. The presumption, the ultimate presumption, is the government is entitled to any dollars it can see or find or hear about. And somewhere along the line, somebody's got to say, wait a second, we really don't need government to the extent that government thinks it's needed. This presumption, oh, there's some money, let's take it, let's tax it, give it to the government, and they'll do good things with it. They'll do good things with it. The government is ruining this country. It's destroying this nation. It's the principal enemy of the people of the United States of America. We don't have to worry about, you know, we went to war in Iraq supposedly because the military is fighting for our freedoms over there. Really? Name two freedoms that our military has fought to protect that were threatened by Iraq or by Afghanistan. Did they threaten the freedom of speech? Did they threaten the right to keep and bear arms? Freedom of the press? Which of our freedoms were threatened by Iraq or Afghanistan and now by, well, Iraq again? Our government's not fighting to protect our freedoms. Our military's not fighting to protect our freedoms. Our freedoms, and the only people that are taking our freedoms away are in Washington, D.C., and our various state capitals. They're the ones that are against our freedoms. The government doesn't do anything for us other than take our money and use it, for God, to get us tangled up in incredible freaking problems that do nothing but drive us deeper into debt, into poverty. I mean, they move. They're the government. They're the ones that move the jobs overseas. They're the ones who won't protect our borders from invasion by illegal aliens. And they just say, we need more money because, gee, we do so much good. No, they don't. You know, I remember seeing where someone did a survey. Oh, this goes back maybe 10 years. Someone did a survey and they had a contest. And I don't remember what the award was. But it wasn't a big award, but it was something like $1,000. For whoever could name and describe the government program that had the most, that did the most job, did the most, provided the most benefit for the American people. They had only one entry. You understand? They had only one person who could think of anything that they thought the government was doing well. So in any case, my point is, we need to sit back and question the presumption that the government is entitled to every dollar it sees, to every dollar it can locate, find, or hear about. It's not. Somebody needs to rein it in, or it's going to kill us all. It's going to destroy this nation. The nation will not fall to outside threats. It won't be Russia that takes us down. It won't be China. It won't be Mexico or Canada or the European Union or any other real or potential threat. They won't get us. What will take us down is our own government and our own stupidity, insofar as we just sit back and say, well, sure, government can spend more money. They can raise taxes. Why not? They're here to help us. No, they're not. Government is here to help itself. It's not here to help the American people. So if we don't wake up, we go down. And that's true. It's not just, it's not simply the kind of radical criticism that we can make against the United States government. It's true for virtually every country that there's ever been. Or at least the vast majority. Some of them are conquered from the outside and destroyed that way. But most of them, and especially the big ones and the empires, they're not destroyed from the outside. They're destroyed from within by their own government's excessive grabs for power. If you're going to tolerate it, well, better get ready. We're going to have some serious problems. If you won't, we might be able to salvage this thing. We still might be able to salvage this. Oh.
I had information here. I'm not quite sure exactly. He's supposed to be a White House correspondent, Neil Munro, but he says that Barack Obama has quietly handed out an extra 5.46 million work permits for non-immigrant foreigners who arrived as tourists, students, illegal immigrants, or other types of migrants since 2009. This information has been released by the Freedom of Information Act request. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it, but I haven't heard of it before. But it's another one of those things where people will sit back, do nothing, not even speak about it, pretend that the government's trying to do us some good. There is a problem with having enough jobs in this country for the American people who live here legally. Unemployment is, according to some estimates, over 20%. Obama's and the government has cooked the books. They said, no, it's not. It's down below 6%. I think I'm more inclined to believe the 20% figure. Whatever it is, we have a problem with unemployment. It's greater than the government admits. And what's the government doing? It's allowing illegal aliens to come into this country and take jobs that might otherwise have gone to the American people. Where is government helping you and me in this? You know? This is just another illustration the government is not here to help you, Mr. and Mrs. America. You're not being helped. I'm going to take another break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188.
I just want to give out some of these numbers, then we'll just move on, Allie. But you hear the aides, Obama's aides, claiming that they've created, you know, how many jobs to this economy, 10 million jobs to the economy since 2009. But if you look at the quiet 5 million work permits plus his November amnesty, that'll have roughly added 10 million foreign workers to the economy by the end of 2015. The influx adds to the normal inflow of 1 million immigrants per year and the standing population of 2 million white-collar and blue-collar guest workers. So 18 million foreign students and workers, including many university-trained workers, have jumped into the U.S. economy since Obama took office in 2009. The 18 million is almost level with roughly 24 million young Americans who have turned 18 and joined the workforce in the 6 years since 2009. And,
many of whom can't find it. Well, they may have joined the workforce, but a bunch of them have not been able to find jobs.
Right. And these foreign workers are indirectly subsidized by the government. So, yeah. I mean, it's...
And subsidized by the people who are here, who are entitled to have a job because they live in this country, they're born in this country. You might not have a job, but if you do, you can help celebrate or you can help subsidize other people that are coming into this country who don't belong here, coming in illegally. These are criminals. You understand? The government says, no, they're undocumented workers. No, they are illegal aliens, as in criminal invaders. And your government isn't going to do a diddly to prevent that invasion. Instead, they welcome that invasion. They even help to inspire and motivate that invasion by handing out work permits. If you can manage to sneak across the Rio Grande from Mexico into Texas, there's somebody here in the United States who will give you a work permit even though you're here illegally. Does that make any sense?
Does
that make any sense to anyone? Does that anything other than treason?
And when you look at these numbers, they all equal. They all match. In 2007, in mid-2007, roughly 66.5% of Americans older than 16 were working. Since then, it has declined. And now it's just under 63%. So that decline means that roughly 5 million Americans dropped out of the workforce. And what was the number that we were adding? You know, that he added 5 million. So, you know.
It's just insane. And anyone in the Democratic Party, for example, I mean, this perhaps is cause for celebration. You might say the Republican Party, insofar as it represents wealthy businessmen. They might be in favor of this. Say, yay, we can get some illegal aliens to work for us and we can pay a minimum wage and they'll be happy to take it. All right. It may be that some businessmen are cheering for this and the Republican Party might be secretly cheering for the illegal aliens coming in just to knock down the amount of money corporations have to pay some of their help at least.
Oh, it's great.
But
for
the Democrats are supposed to be the Democrats are supposed to be the party of American labor and American workers and ordinary people. And the Democrats are backing Obama. And what's he's doing? He's saying to heck with you. He's going to give permits to 5 million people to come in here illegally to take the jobs of people who are looking for jobs. And not only take the jobs, but help to depress wages across the board for everyone. Even if you got a job, you're making less than you would otherwise because we now have a wage scale that is to some degree set by what illegal aliens are willing to work for, which is pushing it down, pushing that wage scale down, pushing the standard of living down. Adults, some of you might be secretly glad to see your kids get out of the house, go get themselves a job, buy a house, have a wife, or a husband, have some kids and start their own families. More than a few of your kids are staying home while Obama is inviting Mexico's children to come up here. If you're old enough to sneak across the river, come on down. We'll get you a job. And the American kids who belong in this country, they can live at home with mom and dad. No children, no spouse of their own, no house of their own. That's a President Obama, and the Democrats cheer for this guy. I don't know.
Well, these work permits that are given out, they're usually, and what you'll hear these politicians talk about is they'll say, well, these work permits are just temporary.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
Let me finish. But they can be extended until a court decides to repatriate a foreign worker. But the court backlogs.
Oh, yeah.
Are so great that it takes 5 years or more.
I understand that. We're not going to stop them from coming here at the border. We're going to create an incentive for them to come here. And then if we catch them and they're doing something wrong, then we're going to go through the whole court situation to try to export them back into Mexico. All right? How long does it take to catch these guys, and how long does it take for a court case to drag on? One court case for each illegal alien? There's no way we can remove illegal aliens on that basis. They will emigrate into this country faster than we can prosecute them through the courts, even if we try to. We can't do it. It's a false solution. It's guaranteed. The only way you're going to get these guys out, if there's a judicial process, is, oh, we got to throw this guy out. It'll take too long. While we go through the judicial process to throw one out, 50 or 100 more are going to come in. It's a losing proposition. They know it's a losing proposition. They want you and me and the rest of the American people to lose this battle. They want the United States to be invaded by Mexicans to the point where you can't tell the difference from the United States and Mexico.
And it's giving it out to all foreigners.
The North American Union, which is treason. They are going to destroy the United States of America, which is treason, in order to create the North American Union. And they're going to do it with a big smile on their face, and they're going to claim it's good for the economy, and we're all going to be better off, and a new world order, and global governments, and global free trade, we're all going to be so much better off. And the truth of the matter is, you and your children are going to wind up living in mud huts before this is all over. And you're going to wonder why. Say, how did this happen? Well, it happened because the American people don't have the guts to stand up and compel their legislators to protect our own borders. We listen to Mr. Obama. He's going to sneak in 5 million people. And let's just give him a big grin. Let's give him, oh, come on. He's black. He's got a big smile on his face. He's a smooth talker. Let's let him get away with anything he wants to do. Let's not. Let's try him for treason. Let's do it. Let's think about it seriously, not just as more radical hyperbole. He is guilty. He is guilty. You know, you can look, you can find the definition of treason in Article 3 of the Constitution. Let me just see if treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or adhering to their enemies. Giving them aid and comfort. When they refer to their enemies, the word "their" is plural. When they refer to the levying war against them, they're referring to the United States, and they mean the several United States. They mean the states of the Union. Your government is destroying the states of the Union. They're doing it. And very few people understand the meanings of some of these terms, but when they define treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, they are referring to the several states of the Union, or adhering to their enemies. The word "their" refers back to the several states of the Union. Most of America has lost its capacity to even understand what the several states of the Union are. Everyone has been conditioned to simply accept what are states of the United States, the singular United States, rather than several. Again, complex, hard to believe, and yet that's what's going on. Your government, your congressman, your senator, they're all in on it. I won't say that every one of them understands what's going on, but they don't have any objection. Their only reason going to Congress is to see how much money they can make. I saw a report a couple of weeks ago, half the Congress are millionaires. Yeah. All by itself, that should give us a clue to who they are really working to represent. Are they working to represent ordinary Americans? No, they're not. They're working to get what they can from ordinary Americans who work for a living or would like to work for a living. Look at the government's working to take what you've got and make sure it goes to the elite, the upper class. It's one of those things, you look at it and, you know, it just makes you groan at times. I sit here and I do my wisecracks or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, you look at some of this and it breaks your heart. It makes, and the only thing that keeps you from rioting is the idea that you can still laugh about it. Yeah, we sit here and laugh about it, ha, ha, ha. But it's not at all funny. It is treason. We're looking at the destruction of our nation. There is no meaningful effort to prevent that destruction. And, you know, you could make an effort by just trying to understand what's going on. It's not necessary that you go out and shoot and throw bombs or whatever. But you could read history, and you could read law, and it's not easily done, but you could do it. And you could find out, you could find the legal basis for what's happening in this country. And if you did that, you would be making a contribution. That's a big first step to trying to restore this country. Just self-education. If you're willing to do that, you know, we might be able to save this place. If you're not willing to even educate yourself, how are we going to save this country? How are we going to save it if people are too lazy to even read books? Yeah. So we have a problem here. And the first step solving any problem is diagnosis. And in order to diagnose problems, you need some education. You can't deduce this stuff psychically. You have to sit back and read some books. Right, and read some websites and get to some blogs and start to consider what other people are saying and start to sort through, you know, information that I try to provide for you, for example, and that other people are trying, and make up your own mind. Who's got the most truth? Who's telling you? Who's trying to lay it on the line and say, this is what's really happening? And when you study it, look and say, you know, I don't think that guy knows what he's talking about, but this guy over here, I think he's pretty good. You've got to get into that. And too few Americans are. And insofar as that's true, we're going to have a very difficult time of it in the future. But if that were changed, people start to read, we might be able to save this country. You know?
What's interesting now is everything is geared for people not to read anymore. I mean, we've talked about this. It's so irritating. You try to read something online, you get things popped up in front of your face. It's distracting. You have other things popping up. People want to talk to you. People want to know your. They do almost. You think you're pulling up an article to read. Next thing you know, you get, you know, 8 commercials before some video that talks to you like you're a 2-year-old, and it's so frustrating. It's just like, just give me the dang information.
And it's not only that, there's a problem with attention span.
But my point is, it's designed, the internet is designed that to keep people from reading. And
now,
so
there's
you
plenty
have
to read on the internet, but a lot of this stuff it's not sound bites. You can't do this in sound bites. You have to sit down
read.
It takes time, and you have to make that investment, and you have to make that effort. And it's not enough to just catch a couple of headlines. You've got to make that investment of time and effort. And I think increasingly, you know, I suspect there's other people that advocate. They say, no, this is true. Youth of America lacks the capacity for an attention span that's sufficient to learn important ideas. Now, that's not true for all of the youth of America. I know that, but some people are arguing that it's becoming true for more than it has been in the past. I think they're probably right. I don't know it to be true, but I think they're probably right. So we've got a problem here. How are we going to resolve it? Don't know, but if we don't resolve it, we're all headed for a bunch of trouble. And we're going to stay in that trouble until some people learn how to read and assert the knowledge that they've gained in public forums and perhaps restore this country. But if we're headed for trouble, you know, you need to buckle up. You need to get ready. One of the things you might want to do is get some gold, get some silver, get some guns, get some ammo, get some food, water, store it up. Trouble may be coming our way. But right now, we are out of time, so we will be back tomorrow. Melody and I will be back tomorrow on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. Hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.